Jason and myself come at today's episode from a completely different life experience. Now, I'm an original. We're talking about Star Wars. I remember as a little kid standing in line at a one-screen theater in 1977, ready to watch what would change my life. And in that summer, I saw it 6 times. Drugged my parents, drugged my friends, anybody I could get to go. At recess in elementary, I was Luke Skywalker. My little girlfriend was Princess Leia. I had the curtains, the bedspread, action figures, the metal lunchbox. I sat through and waited 3 agonizing years between episodes 4 and 5, and then 3 more years between 5 and 6. But I would say this about Star Wars is that it shaped my entire childhood. What about you, Jason?
Let's see. I owned the Star Wars bedsheets that you mentioned, and we probably had the same because they were hand-me-downs for my brother.
Oh.
They replaced my Disney Mickey Mouse and Friends bedsheet. So, yeah, that was my experience growing up with Star Wars. I don't believe I saw them in the theater. Nope. And I don't believe I own them on VHS. And let's see if there's anything else. Nope.
That's
nope.
About
that was the extent of my Star Wars shaping my childhood.
So like I said, we come from completely different viewpoints and life experiences. But as always, we're talking about students, talking about ideas. And as parents and youth workers, we want to learn from students on this podcast. So today we're talking about Star Wars and its impact on student culture. Because as you probably know, unless you've been living in a cave, that when this episode is being released, that the new Star Wars story, Rogue One, is going to be released in theaters.
So first of all, from our research, we want to mention that students care about Star Wars. At least 2 out of 3 can tell you a favorite numbered episode. And we asked what was their favorite episode, and we'll be sharing the results. We'll also talk about how the Star Wars universe will have a deeper effect on your students.
I'm Jeff Eckert.
And I'm Jason Brewer. And this is The Thought Factory. Today, we are interviewing a guy who had the script to Star Wars Episode 1, but he had it an entire year before the movie was released in 1999. An entire year. So he started a Star Wars fan website that has now become one of the most popular fan websites in the country, possibly in the world, where millions of fans go to his website. And we get to talk to him today. We are super excited to hear his thoughts about Star Wars.
One quick housekeeping item before we get into our episode today is about our next episode. It's going to be totally different than what we've done before. And spoiler alert, this will be a total shameless plug here in the next few moments.
Our next episode will be a live recording of an event that our organization did a few weeks ago called Generations. Many of you have joined our listening audience. And if you are interested in the background of our sponsoring organization, Never the Same, you can listen in and hear our miraculous story. We are a national youth ministry organization that just celebrated our 7-year anniversary. And what you'll hear on this episode is our past, present, and future, where Jeff, our founder, will share some stories of what God has done and where God is leading us into the future. Find out more about our organization at neverthesame.org.
And we are excited to share this with you. We kind of debated. It was a really, it was a fun night for us to do as a staff and as a team, and for the first time as an organization to release what we believe is our mission and vision for our organization, Never the Same, that Jason mentioned. We had some great guests with us that night.
Yeah, we had Phil Joel. You may have remembered him, heard of him. We had him in an episode earlier about social media, and a friend of ours also, as well as Hosanna, who is also a friend of ours, a spoken word poet. And they did an incredible job, and so it was really a great night.
It was, and we're excited to share that with you. And so we realize some of you know who we are. Many of you don't. You're new to our organization. And so if you are interested, a little holiday listening maybe for you over the Christmas break, but you can learn and hear our story. And we're excited, I think, me personally even, to just have you experience with us all the miracles in the last 7 years and what God's done. So that's for next time. But today, we talk Star Wars. So, disclaimer. How long have you been working on that?
That was just 3 seconds worth of work.
Disclaimer, we're going to be using a lot of nerdy Star Wars terms. So if you don't know what these mean, it's okay. If you do, great, you're with us. But hey, so when you hear words like Padawan, Jedi, midichlorians, episodes, which is the term for movies, Sith Lords, Darths, that's kind of hard to say. Sounds like you have a list, but Darths, et cetera. Don't be discouraged. If you don't know what it means, it's all going somewhere eventually. Trust us.
And if you don't know what it means, really, we have an assistant called Google.
That's right.
We have a special guest later today, Josh Griffin, who is a former youth pastor at Saddleback Church and is now with Download Youth Ministry. He is the founder of the largest Star Wars fan site called TheForce.net. And he will be sharing his thoughts on Rogue One, Star Wars, and students and youth ministry in general. So we're very excited to have him later today.
And at the very end, you want to stick around because I will be sharing my ultimate Star Wars theory about the nature of the entire story. Now, if you're at all into Star Wars, I can almost guarantee that you've gone on YouTube or some blog or site and gotten into all these theories, which is kind of the thing right now. So there's different theories about who's what and what's really going on. But I promise you, I will share a theory that will blow your mind, and I know that it's actually a true theory. So stick around. That's at the end.
Let me interject real quick. Is this an original theory?
I thought of this theory many years ago, and then I had it verified with Josh. Maybe we can talk about it when we talk to him. But yeah, it's something I thought about, never really read. I didn't get into much in the blogging thing about Star Wars. But then about a year ago, I saw Josh and I said, hey, I've had this theory about Star Wars for a long time, I think over 10 years, and I just asked him, is this true? And he verified it. So I would say, in my book, he's an expert, so I'm going with it.
All right.
So first, let's say this about our survey results. We're going to talk to you about what students think about Star Wars. And if you know how, kind of how we did the background of our survey research this summer of 2016, we asked students their thoughts on different topics, all kind of things from politics to food to school to church to the Bible, also Star Wars, which we're talking about today. And then we ask adult leaders, and these are leaders and students from all over the nation, thousands of them. We ask adult leaders their prediction on how they thought students would respond, and we've been comparing those in this season's episode. So for this one about Star Wars, we thought this was interesting that down the line, adults' answers on behalf of students were almost exact as students' answers themselves. So our takeaway from that, first of all, is that adults and students really are in sync, are lined up when it comes to the Star Wars universe.
So what is their favorite Star Wars episode? We have that answer. But first, let's start with their least favorite episode, which you might guess, and I will drag this on just a few more seconds, but I bet in your mind, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know what episode it was the least favorite, and the students have voted. It's episode 1, Phantom Menace.
Yes, no surprise there.
I don't understand why, though.
Yeah, what student wants to sit down and hear 2 hours about intergalactic politics? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I mean, that's where the Star Wars story started.
Yes.
Like, come on. History buffs at least have to.
Yeah, well.
And then their top three, number three is episode 4, A New Hope. So the actual original release, episode 4, came out in 77. Next one, number 2, episode 5, Empire Strikes Back.
Which I think a lot of the purists would say that was the best made film of all of them. So I'll just throw that out there.
All right. Okay. I don't care. Number 1. Episode 7, The Force Awakens, is their favorite.
Yeah, probably no surprise, right?
Or was the most recent on their mind.
That's right, or was the most recent one they saw. Number 1, I think top grossing box office movie of all time, I think, was Force Awakens. So, huge movie, still making a lot of money.
Was that when the ticket sales were about $14 a piece?
Yeah, probably, yeah. I think they adjust that, Jason, for the record. So all the different episodes, we kind of were talking a little bit before we were recording this episode, Jason and myself, about our different views on the episodes. My personal favorite is the 1977 original episode 4, A New Hope. That's my number 1 movie of all time. I love it. I think it's great. It set the standard in so many ways. So that's my favorite.
How many times have you seen it besides the six times that original summer?
I can't even count, but I would say probably 50, maybe. That would
50.
Be a guess. Yeah, maybe.
50. That's over 100 hours of movie watching.
I know. It's a lot. Wow. I love it. It's a great movie.
All right. Well, I just recently started watching the Star Wars in sequence and kind of in preparation for this episode of our podcast. And I would say out of all of them, I enjoyed episode 3 the most. Mainly because I had an inkling. I knew that this story was leading up to the formation of Darth Vader. And so you start seeing the fall of Anakin and how it was all starting to develop and make the connection between old Star Wars and new Star Wars. I was just more fascinated by how the storyline was making the connection.
Yeah, it really wraps all of the six original movies together for mm-hmm. sure. Episode 3, a lot happens in there. And it was really good. And one of my favorite stories is when I was a youth pastor, I took students to see that opening night. And it was, I think, the midnight showing. It was before they showed the earlier ones, the night before. Yep. Like now you can go at 8 o'clock or something. And so I was sitting in between two students, and one of them was about 5 foot tall. Her name was Megan, and she dressed up. So she was Darth Vader. And it was kind of funny because she's 5 foot tall, right? And she couldn't make it. I just looked over and she was just nodding off about halfway through the movie. And eventually, no joke, it was very ironic, she started breathing like Darth Vader because she just totally fell asleep. And then she kicked her lightsaber that she brought and it went off and everybody in the theater turned and looked at her. It's a great story, but that's my story about episode 3. Never forget that.
Does she remember it?
I think she does. We still joke about it to this day. Megan, if you're out there, hello. So all these different episodes, and we talked about theories. So the theory, Jason, have you heard this one? That Jar Jar, everyone's least favorite character from episode 1. Is he a Sith Lord? Have you heard this theory?
Just recently, about 4 or 5 minutes ago.
Oh, I see. Right before. So if you haven't heard this, look it up. There's this great video on YouTube. Now, it's one of those things where you watch it, you can totally get sucked in. Like, is Jar Jar really, evil? And you watch it, you can kind of be convinced. And then when you sit back, you're like,
No way.
He was just dumb.
He was that character, only that reason.
That's right. And then the latest one, which, again, maybe we'll talk with Josh about this, but is Luke. Did he really turn to the dark side? That was the latest theory that kind of took over the internet right before The Force Awakens came out. And have you heard this one, Jason?
I have not, besides what you just mentioned.
Do you really care not. About this conversation?
I am trying really hard to care about this conversation.
So with this one, it's like, and I'm still wondering, is Luke really, did he become a bad guy? And that's still yet to be revealed.
So
it's possible.
You're asking that question based on the timeline of episode 6, between 6 and 7.
Yes.
Right? Where he disappeared and then they find him on top of a mountain.
Yeah. And people would say yes and no, obviously, but some of the clues, like him wearing black, some of the things that is said by the Emperor at the end of 6, like, and Yoda, like, if you give in, you'll never be able to go back, things like that. Who knows? But it's an interesting theory. It's fun to speculate about these things. At least for me, it is.
My anticipation and my interest is just growing by the minute.
I can see it
and
in your face.
I wonder if there's going to be an episode in between, since Rogue One is an in-betweener, if there's going to be an episode in between those moments, and we'll find out.
Oh, like between 6 and 7?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That could be
good. So that's my theory. You heard it first here.
There we go.
We are cutting edge.
Predicting
on Star
the future,
Wars.
Yes. 2021. All right. So we're going to talk to Josh here, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Josh. Send me a text. I'll get back to you right away.
Oh, I guess we got to text him.
Oh, it's a text interview? He didn't say that.
Yeah.
That's so weird. How's that going to work? Here. Hey, we're with Josh Griffin, former youth pastor at Saddleback, now with Download Youth Ministry. Josh, it's great to have you with us. And I think I alluded to it either before or after this in the podcast, but our connection was Star Wars. You're obviously the guru in my mind. So tell us a little bit about how you got introduced to Star Wars and where it went from there in your life.
Well, thanks. Great to be on the show. I'm excited. I love two things. I love God and I love Star Wars. I guess I love my kids too, my wife. So
I guess.
I got into Star Wars as a young kid. So I was born a long time ago in a galaxy far away. And my dad was preaching. He's a pastor, and he was preaching on Sunday morning. And the Star Wars movies were coming on TV for the first time ever, and they were coming on at noon on this Sunday. So I said, "Dad, you've got to end your message on time. He's like, "All right." So he says, "Amen." At 12 noon, and I am already running out the back of the church and across our neighborhood to get to our house and watch Star Wars for the first time. So I was born and raised on Star Wars, had every toy as a kid. I wish I'd kept some of those because I'd be very wealthy right now. But Star Wars has been a part of my life for my entire life.
Very cool. So then you went in and you did something pretty bold. You started a website, right?
Yeah. So a pretty crazy series of events led to the founding of TheForce.net. It's the largest Star Wars fan site. Literally, millions of people will visit there. It's pretty nuts on a monthly basis. So what happened was there was this guy on the internet, back when the internet was a little young. It wasn't quite as big, but it was still pretty crazy. And there was this guy saying, "I have the script for episode one." And episode one hadn't even come out yet in movie theaters. It was still about a year away. So I have the script. Everyone's just making fun of him in the comments, laughing. And so I emailed him and said, "Hey, send me the script. Do you have it?" And he's like, "Oh, you know, $500 or something stupid." But like, I wasn't born yesterday. I'm not just going to send $500 to California and get, you know, totally soaked by this guy. And so I followed up with him randomly a couple of months later and said, "Hey, do you ever believe me?" He said, "No, no one ever believed me. And I'll send you the script for free." And he overnighted the script to episode one. It's like the most valuable property in all of Hollywood. And it's just sitting in my farmhouse in Michigan as a youth pastor. And I've got the script to episode one a year before the movie comes out. So anyhow, we started leaking little bits of the script, and I met a bunch of people at Lucasfilm and Hasbro and all these different companies that do Star Wars stuff. And pretty soon, TheForce.net turned into this giant, giant Star Wars website with tens of thousands of pages and news stories and editorials. And it was pretty nuts. We leaked the first clip of Jar Jar Binks when no one even knew who he was. And we started this huge online reaction to Jar Jar. And it was in Wall Street Journal and USA Today and Entertainment Weekly. And so it's been a wild, wild ride of Star Wars news. And so it all started with stolen property being sent to my house.
So I remember when I first met you, I think you told me how many articles you've written about Star Wars. What was that number? Yeah. It was a lot.
Yeah. It's somewhere north of about 15,000. So it's a little 15,000. Bit ridiculous. It's a little bit ridiculous. I'll be honest with you. But, you know, I just wrote news stories and articles, and believe it or not, in the early 2000s, I even had predicted that they would sell Star Wars and let random other directors each take a film, which, of course, you know, J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson and Gareth Anderson, all these people have picked up Star Wars now, and that's something that I said they should do 15 years ago. So before most of your audience was born,
Nice, nice. Now, what's picked up recently? It's more mainstream now. You've probably been in this world for a long time. Is theory. So YouTube is full of all these kinds of crazy theories. Do you have a theory you'd like to maybe push or debunk here on this podcast?
That's a really, really good question. I think a lot of people are talking about Snoke. Snoke is kind of that evil Empire character from the new Force Awakens movie, right?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are making a big deal about him being somebody else, and I just think he's a brand new character they invented out of the blue. And if there's a backstory, they're going to have to invent one because they didn't have one. So they're like, "Oh, he's like Boba Fett that's come back from the dead, and now he's or he's the emperor reincarnated and or come back to life with the falling of the pit or something. I'm like, nope, they just needed a villain and they invented one.
Okay. All right.
I hope there's more to it than that, but I really don't think so. I think they're going to literally have to make it up as they go.
Hey, Josh, I have a question, maybe two of them. One pertains to Rogue One coming up. And
yeah.
I was watching Empire Strikes Back actually last night, and they make reference call signs as they're flying around to Rogue 3, Rogue 4, 2, you know. Is there some sort of connection to Jedi's with Rogue One and any information that you may have pertaining to that?
That's a really, really good observation. I think there's a surprising amount of little connections between the original trilogy and these films that I think are really neat. I think they're going to come to light as the movies come out, especially. You're going to go, ah, oh, I never even heard that line. And, you know, you hear it in a new way. We were watching Force Awakens a couple nights ago. And there's a line that Rey says about Luke right in the middle of the film. She's in Maz Kanata's, you know, castle or whatever. And I'd never heard that line. I'm like, oh, that's an important line. So I think there's stuff like that. The Rogue tall sign is an interesting one. I personally think Rogue One has more to do with the idea of Jyn Erso being the Rogue and rebelling and kind of birthing the rebellion.
Okay.
Then it does a connection to Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. I think it's unrelated, but I would love to be proven wrong too.
I would imagine that's a good thought, because if they are starting in the rebellion by Empire Strikes Back, since it's post Rogue One in the timeline, they would identify each other as these rogues, I guess. That's my thought as well.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I'm tracking with you.
Yeah, that's good. I never thought of that. Jason, I'm impressed.
Like I said, I'm a Padawan.
Wow. You're getting there.
I'm learning. Trying to be a Jedi Master. Another question I had for you is, what redeeming themes are there in the movies from your perspective?
Yeah, well, I think the biggest redeeming quality is the redemption of someone who you just assume is totally evil. It's one-dimensional. They're completely lost. And obviously that's Darth Vader. You know, he's the central character of the two trilogies. And it's his story. I suppose it's also about Luke and other things too. But at the end of the day, you know, the redemption that's possible in anyone that's one of the strongest themes of the whole films. You know, when Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi is pulling off his dad's mask and he says, you know, let me look on you with my own eyes for the first time. Like, that's a powerful moment of him going, I've looked through these evil eyes and this mask my whole life, and looking at you as a human, even Luke the whole time has said, there's still good in you, and I still believe. And so, to me, there's so many great lessons in there. About, you know, we're quick to write off people. We're quick to cast people as one-dimensional or evil. And I think that's not how people are. And what a great lesson that we can learn from Star Wars. I mean, the second one for me would be the idea of hope. When all hope is lost, like, you know, especially, you know, teenagers, you know, I was talking to a buddy of mine who's going through a really tough time right now. He's got a divorce and he's lost his job. He's just really in the thick of a dark, dark time. And one of the things I love about Star Wars is it just reminds us that there is hope. And of course, our hope is not in, you know, just a person, but I believe our hope is in God and in Jesus. And so, when the movie's called A New Hope, or, you know, you're the last hope for the rebellion, I love that stuff because I'm an optimist and I also believe in a faithful, loving God who has plans for us. And even in the midst of dark times, we can have hope.
That's great.
That's awesome. All right. I want to do some end here with some lightning round questions. Are you ready?
All right. Let's do it.
Here we go. Really quick. Favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back.
Jar Jar Binks, Sith Lord or no?
No, but I wish he was, because it'd be so brilliant. The film theory.
All right, Luke Skywalker, did he turn evil or is he still good?
No, he's 100% good.
All right, will the Emperor return, yes or no?
Oh, I hope not. We already had another Death Star, third Death Star. Let's not do another Emperor.
Yeah, I agree. Do you like to say the name Dooku?
It's Count Dooku, and I agree. Yeah, I do like it.
Last one. How many times will you see Rogue One in theaters?
I will see it on opening night, first screening, at least once more in the theater that weekend. And if it's good, which I'm counting on it being good, my buddy saw it, said it's great, at least one more time. So I'm going to say three.
All right, cool. Well, Josh, thanks for your time. Thanks for your expertise. Thanks for all you do in youth ministry. And we're really privileged to have you with us today.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I had a blast, guys. May the force be with you.
Let's take a break in the action to think about all the wonderful things that happen on a school campus, like my 7th grade daughter's orchestra concert, as well as Claim Your Campus. Claim Your Campus is equipping and uniting students across the nation to pray for change on their campus. Check out the website at claimyourcampus.com, where you'll find free resources for youth workers, as well as downloading the app on Google Play and on the App Store.
Well, welcome back. We have been discussing Star Wars. Obviously, if you are still with us, we just concluded our interview with Josh Griffin. And now we want to turn a corner a little bit, and we want to look at the data that the students provided for us. And we asked students how much Star Wars has changed their life. And their response, 4 out of 10 said they considered themselves a Jedi, which is a master. Am I correct?
Okay, I think you are. I'm with you so far.
Yeah. And then 1 out of 10 said that they were a Padawan, a learner. And the rest said they didn't care. So if you do the math, 5 out of 10 had some sort of knowledge about Star Wars. And all the rest of them, 5 out of 10, fall under the camp that I fall into. That they just didn't care.
So with that, you know, we thought about the effect of Star Wars on student culture, and to find one thing in society, especially a series of movies that connects with an overwhelming majority of people in society, but a good number of students, it's hard to find that. I mean, we live in a world where more and more, and I think it's one of the tough things to deal with when we work with students. And the big picture is the splinterization of their interests. And yet Star Wars seems to have the staying power with a good number of them, where they at least know what they're talking about. And they're somehow connected to it, where they can pick out a favorite movie, where they can talk about what they know. And so that's one of the reasons that we think the themes of the movies are worth talking about, because this might be a connection you can make. Star Wars is obviously hot right now. There's going to be a movie out, at least one, for the next year, for the foreseeable future until 2020. And so what is it about these movies that have this staying power? And there's a lot of ideas. There's blogs, there's books written on the topic of faith, even of Christianity and Christian faith and Star Wars. But the other day, they've been playing a lot of the movies on TV to kind of lead up to the release of Rogue One. And it was on. We were in the room together with my daughters in high school. And it was coming on that scene in episode 6 where Luke is about ready to take Darth's mask off. And I said, wait, right here. Listen, watch this scene, because this is what the whole thing's all about. And they had this little moment of reconciliation. And I said, that's really what this whole Star Wars saga up to this point is all about, this moment. And she said, no, wait a minute. I thought this was really the story of Luke Skywalker. And then in my nerdy self, I said, no, listen, it's way...
That's way more than just Luke Skywalker. That's incorrect.
It was in that voice, actually, too, which made her respect me all the more. And I said to
her... My little offspring, you are so incorrect.
I said to her, you know, redemption is the story. And so the story flows with this idea of Anakin. We meet him when he's a kid. He's very innocent. And then he falls to evil and, you know, lives his majority of his life that way, actually, and then is redeemed at the end. And if you step back, that really is that's the overarching theme of Scripture. One of them is creation, it's innocence, it's fall, it's redemption. And that's what we see in the life of Anakin, who turns into Darth Vader. So if you didn't know that, I know I'm spoiling it, but hey, you should know that by now if you're listening this far. But that's really, I think, a connection we can make with students is this idea of redemption.
I agree. And even though I may not know a lot about Star Wars or may not care as much. It, as I watch it, as I look at it, as I see it in a through the filter of my own beliefs, I really do see that redemption and see how there is so much evil in this world, but God made a way for us to know him personally and to be changed, to not be set in our evil ways, to not be set in the ways of sin or this fallen state, but there is good in everyone and God put it there, put it in us. And God's power is the power to change our human heart. And so even though it's in a sci-fi movie, it's really fascinating just to see the connections between the two.
Yeah, so for us, as we think about this season especially, and we think about those movies, it's a great way to make a connection. I think one of the things that we do is we are people that take culture and connect it to students and where they are, whether we're a parent, whether we're a youth worker. And that's what we're celebrating as this is recorded and released in the season of Christmas, is we're celebrating redemption. We're celebrating life, what God did when he sent his son Jesus into this earth, which was an amazing gift to us, to all of us. And that's the story. And we don't want to lose that story. We want to remember that, like you said, Jason, that God can change a person's heart. And God has created that good. And it's up to us to receive that and to connect with that. So hopefully, through this episode, you've had a little fun, but you can also begin to make those not just cultural connections, but spiritual ones as well with students.
I agree. And my thought also goes to how we can view so many people in our lives as a Darth Vader in a way of they are so far removed from good and they have so much evil in their lives that there is no possibility that they can be changed. And yet God can still change a heart as evil as a Darth Vader. And I know that's a metaphor, but if we think of one or two people that we know that it's like there is no way that God can change them. There is nobody far from God's grace and his redemption and the transformational power of Jesus Christ. And so, yeah, as we talk about Star Wars and we enter into Christmas, I think just to keep that on mind of like God's power is so much larger than anybody's hearts.
Okay, so to end this episode, I want to give you my ultimate Star Wars theory. Now, I know there's a lot floating around out there, and you can verify this as you look it up, I'm sure, but years ago, I got to thinking about something, and I'm really going to get nerdy here for a minute, Jason, so just hang on, because this is going to go somewhere. But
I'm right there with you.
So you were asking earlier, like, you know, watching, especially episode one, all the politics, how's all this stuff kind of fit together? Well, I noticed a few years ago that a lot of people were really disgruntled with George Lucas, as many people have been and are, but, like, why did they take the original movies about the Force and about this religion and faith and kind of mysterious belief, and then in episode one, make it scientific with the midichlorians and all that. And I remember Lucas at some point in an interview saying, it will make sense eventually. And this was before all the first six were released. And later on, I thought about that. If you know the story, Anakin did not have a father in the story. So how's that work? And what's amazing to me about how great Star Wars is the Emperor, when he was before he was the Emperor, he was a Senator, Palpatine, and Darth Sidious Emperor, like all three wrap into one. He alluded to himself in episode three, if you know what I'm talking about, when he was talking with Anakin about this Jedi who learned how to manipulate the midichlorians. And so the theory is that Senator Palpatine, before he rose to power, created Anakin and actually kind of oversaw that whole thing of him being born, of him being the one seen as fulfill the prophecy, if you know the movies. And then at the same time, while he was doing that, he was rising to power. He was manipulating the Senate. He was manipulating this whole other movement on the side, the Separatists, the Trade Federation, all that. So throughout this whole story, he was the puppet master, pulling the strings, creating Anakin while running and creating power in the Senate and operating in the whole Separatist thing. And I think that's just a fascinating part of the story. It's my nerdy self coming out, but I just wanted to share if you're into Star Wars theories, that's my theory. Look it up and verify and see if it's true. And you have nothing else to add to that, do you? Because it's so good.
Speechless. I am speechless. I wish I was paying attention to that entire theory. My question is, based off of that, which is seems very plausible, and my question is then, Anakin wasn't a part of the Jedi Council, right?
Correct.
So did the Jedi's on that council, even though he was, I should say, he was a part of the council, but not a master, right?
I think so, yes.
So he was angry that they weren't letting him become a master, and did those Jedi councilmen creatures know of this, or like, you know, why was he kind of held at arm's length at that circle?
It was because of the, I think it was his mysterious background. They didn't know him. They sensed something in him that maybe wasn't quite right, which their gut probably told them that was true. And so that kept him from kind of getting in on the inner circle, like you said. I'm proud of you, Jason. There. That's a really good question.
There, I contributed.
There you go. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoyed it. We look forward to coming back and hearing more about what students are saying, what they're thinking, and what we can do in response to help them.
And may the Force be with you.